Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning, everybody. Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Tuesday, January 14th. We are almost halfway through the dreaded month of January. Just the weirdest month. Everyone's struggling a little bit to get off the ground, man. I've gotten so many DMs this week from people that have thanked us for being on the air, and they're going through some hard times, and I love those messages. I do. I just wish everyone wasn't struggling right now, certainly. But we are here. We're happy to be here. Looking forward to our show today. Very, very excited and nervous about the program today. We'll tell you why in a moment. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. It is cold outside today.
Coldy.
And I get it. We're not in Canada or Minnesota or Maine, but for San Diego, I saw my car temperature gauge dipped slightly into the 20s on the way to work, just for a moment.
But yeah,
still low 30s most of the way. That technically, everybody, is freezing.
Yeah, technically it's freezing here in San Diego this morning. It's always freezing in the studio, even in June. It's butt cold in here, as it always is. But yeah, like yesterday was one of those days. My hands were so cold, I didn't even want to, like,
use your hands.
Use my hands. Well, I had like an hour to myself, and I was like, nope, hands are too cold. Not doing it. My hands are freezing. There's no way. You guys catch my drift?
Washing the dishes.
Nope. No.
Folding laundry.
Nope. Folding laundry would be nice.
That would. Warm. That would be a good plan.
Yeah. My hands were too cold. So I just said, forget it. I'm out. I'm not doing it.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Freezing. I have my hands in my pockets right now.
Don't let minor obstacles stand in the way of your life goals.
There's nothing minor about my obstacle, Ben, all right? Just so you know. It's very, very, very cold. Very cold. In my house, I've taken to wearing a beanie around my home. You know, with Ma in her kerchief and I in my cap is a real thing in my home.
Are you
now
one of those houses that isn't allowed to turn on the heat?
Correct.
Okay. Ever.
Beatrice in the chat says, now what if Roki was listening to this?
She makes a good point.
You do make a good point. I guess we do need to mind our P's and Q's a little bit more. But, hey, listen, big Roki news yesterday. I don't know about you guys. My stomach is in knots. It's giving me bubble guts. I am terrified. We will break down all of the Roki news that we saw yesterday. And there was plenty to get to yesterday. But how are you feeling, Benjamin? That's the one thing I want to know.
I've been kind of just wavering between okay and on the verge of not okay. The voice sounds a little bit better.
A little
this
bit
morning,
better.
But yeah, just had a little cough last night. Couldn't quite shake it. It's been over a week now.
Now, you're wearing your shirt that our buddy Craig got you for the Christmas and holiday extravaganza. My pal Craig Glover, man, just the most generous dude alive, got you a shirt. He says, because you say however a lot. He got your shirt that just says, however, Ben Higgins. Now, which shirt do you like better? Because I do have, if you wanted to,
if you wanted to wear
the mesh, you could, because I do have it on me.
No, I can still remember the feeling and how tight it was under the arms here. Kind of chafing underneath.
So if you missed it yesterday, Ben lost a bet. Well, it wasn't a bet, because typically in the radio business, you'll hear a show be like, hey, Paulie lost a bet. Right. It's fake. They plan it beforehand. It's ridiculous. This was pick 'em. Like, we picked the games, and the loser had to wear a mesh shirt. So this was not a staged bit or anything like that. Loser wins. If it were me, I would have been in it. Paulie would have worn it. It just happened to be Ben. And so he put on that mesh shirt and wore it for an hour yesterday. And I will say, I know you were nervous about it. The pictures that were circulating, I don't know, 15 straight hours are fantastic. It's going to live forever. But what it did is it catapulted you even into more legendary status.
Well, I will say that as much as I demanded that everyone just not spread it all over the internet, you didn't follow my wishes, and I got several screenshots that were circulated of me yesterday.
Anything from your mom?
Well, my mom actually did text me and said, I know that that you were horrified by having to wear that mesh shirt, mm-hmm. but you actually looked pretty cute in it. And I said, well, that's very nice and a little disturbing. But
it is.
But thank you for the compliment. You guys were pretty nice about it. Most people are actually fairly nice about it. They said, hey,
it looked good.
Hey, you lost weight. You look pretty good. I did get one mean comment.
Now, all right, number one. It surprises me that there was only one.
I mean, I got some silly comments.
Yeah, some silly ones. Like, oh, my eyes.
I got one that I registered, at least in my brain, as mean-spirited.
All right, let's hear it.
It was from, should I say who it's from?
Yes. Or not? You put it out there.
At KAK584.
KAK584.
Yeah. And he said, Ben Higgins should check his estrogen levels. I thought, well, that's kind of mean.
Fairly clever.
It's not that clever. It's
Hooter
just that,
research.
It's just kind of mean,
it's
I thought.
Pretty clever.
Yeah, I guess it's fairly mean.
Fairly. I thought you looked good.
I looked okay. I mean, you know. Could be better.
Could definitely be worse.
Could have gone either way.
Kind of the
boobs.
Kind of the story of the of all of us. Could be a little better, could be a little worse.
I thought they were more like pecs.
It really
like
it did. It pinched them in. It was like form fitting. I didn't know this, but and I don't have these, but I see all the time. I wonder why. Probably my algorithm is like, hey, get rid of your man boobs with this T-shirt, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to. Then they have pants that like lift your butt cheeks.
Oh, I see
like,
those all the time. Mott and Bow.
Yeah.
Those pants that you know raise your butt up a little bit.
Yeah, it lifts your butt, and then you. But see, like women wear all kinds of things, Spanx and whatnot, and yoga pants do a good job at concealing. I did see a man recently. I'm not kidding. I can't remember where I was. I was with Hannah somewhere, and I went like this. I went, oh, he's in yoga pants. Man, walking around, not in like because Paulie and I will wear when we go to fantasy camp. It's cold. In the morning, you wear those like tights. Fernando wears them. Manny wears them. They're like
compression
pants. You wear them when you play basketball, whatever.
You know, that's just what guys call yoga pants.
Well, so they're not. They're thinner. they are.
Oh yeah, would never wear.
You those couldn't wear around. Just them.
Just those in a t-shirt. No. Walking around.
Maybe that's the next bet.
Women can wear women yoga pants and a t-shirt or a hoodie or something.
But we were somewhere recently, and a guy, an older gentleman, walked by, and he was wearing yoga pants, and it jarred me. It was, and I go, Hannah, I go, look, he's got yoga pants. She's like, so? I'm like, what do you mean, so? Men don't walk around in yoga pants. I've never seen a man walk around in yoga pants. Have you?
I don't know. Is that just a function of how yoga pants fit and, you know, the given equipment for guys versus girls? And
no, I mean, it looked like he was trying to, like, hold it all together. And he had these pants on. And I thought, oh, okay, well, that's a new one for me. I haven't seen it yet. But Yeah, I don't know, man. Dominic says compression pants is like saying a doll is an action figure. I get it. But they do serve a purpose. And it's to keep you warm, keep your legs warm and loose and all that. And honestly, I bought some years ago because, well, I saw Fernando Tatis Jr. wore them and I thought it looked cool. That's why I bought them. I'll tell you straight up, straight away.
That's why athletes make so much money.
That's exactly why they make so much
advertisements, because, hey, I'll buy something if my favorite athlete is wearing it,
bro,
because it looks cool.
1,000%. I mean, 1,000%. That's why I bought them.
I wear them on Tuesday nights for basketball because the gym that we play in, it's Alliant University. They're the big,
freezing,
like an airplane hangar type gym. It's either an oven in the summer or it's ridiculously cold time of year. And so you put them on because I refuse to play basketball or run or do anything where I'm going to sweat in pants, in sweats even.
Sweats, yeah.
Like I don't feel comfortable wearing sweats running around and exercising.
Oh yeah, and I can't wear shorts. I don't wear shorts. Men should never be seen in shorts as far as I'm concerned.
False.
Ever. Never, and there's no reason, unless you are tan or have nice hairy legs and they're muscular.
Big calves.
Yeah. But for the most part, I never need to see a man in shorts. If you're swimming, okay, sure, it's fine. If you're going for a swim, absolutely. But a man walking around in shorts will always be weird to me. Oh, and I say it because I'm disgusting in shorts. I'm not great in pants. I am disgusting in shorts. Disgusting. I don't even wear them around the house. I'm always in pants. Always. You're more likely to see me lounging around my house in khakis than you would to see me in a pair of shorts. It's just true.
Well, for me, the bottom line, KAK584, is that I have worked very hard the last couple of years to get to the level that I would call dad bod. And I think I am now at least dad bod.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I know I'm never getting to svelte or ripped or jacked, but dad bod I can live with, and I think I'm there, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you're no longer morbidly obese like you were.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
It's weird to go back and see the old pics of you. It's like I didn't even.
I almost want to just get rid of them.
Like, no, I think you keep them. I think you keep them forever.
Well, before now, and after.
Now, if it went the other way and you were real skinny when we met, and then you ballooned up.
Like, no more pictures.
No more pictures, right? This is actually good. Like, oh, man, look what a sack of S I used to look like. And look at me now. You look fantastic.
We have a very special guest on the program today. We've teased it, but we'll let you know what's coming up on the program. Obviously, a lot of Roki Sasaki talk as well. Take our first time out. Check traffic with Kelly Danick. And we will be off and running here on a Tuesday with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't. didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One week from today, live from the Peoria Sports Complex. Now, it's not spring training yet. It's fantasy camp week next week. And if you are not familiar with our week there or new to the program, it really is a lot of fun. Paul and Woods actually play with the fantasy campers, games every single day. They have a lot of fun. I go and I moderate one of the panels this year. They've got talking to the Cy Young Award winners, nice. The living Cy Young Award winners for the San Diego Padres. But there are so many, you know, Padres legends who are on hand, and just about every single one of them will stop by our table, which is right outside the Padres clubhouse inside the building. It's a little different than spring training. We have a little more unfettered access to the compound during fantasy camp week.
I was telling my wife yesterday, actually the day before, about just how fun, you know, she knows how fun it is. And it's hard on her, man. I leave for a week. She's got the two little demon seeds at home, and I'm gone for a week. But she totally gets it now. Sixth year we've gone. And I told her, I go, the difference between us there and the difference between us at spring training is so otherworldly. Like, when we get to spring training a few weeks later, we'll be on the patio. I'm like, I'm going to go grab a coffee. And then, like, I can't. Like, you can't go in there while spring training is going on.
Just
I can't
walk into the clubhouse, grab some
I can't go
sweatshirts.
Make a yogurt parfait while Manny and Toddy. Like, it's not, it's off limits to me and us. But at fantasy camp, you feel like a big leaguer. So you're like in your locker, which is like Manny's locker, with your feet up, like, oh, this is the life. Those guys, honestly, they're so well taken care of. They should never complain about anything ever. The fields are immaculate. Everything is perfect. Food, everything you can imagine. I never want to hear those guys complain.
You got Joe Musgrove's espresso machine in the locker room there.
You got Heath Bell's cold brew machine. I mean, there's all kinds of, like,
oh yeah, it's on tap. It's great.
It's wild.
But
man,
I think the best part is that we get to broadcast indoors as opposed to outdoors, because we looked at the forecast.
It's gonna be
We think it's cold here today. It's going to be even colder in the mornings.
In the 30s.
In Arizona next week. 20s and 30s when you get up. So it's definitely an advantage to be broadcasting inside rather than outside.
It's a testament to how well they've done the job there at Fantasy Camp, that you have people coming back now for their sixth year and just can't ever fathom not doing it. And we have a lot of fun, obviously.
Our first year there was like 19 guys.
Yeah, dude.
We barely had enough for
for two teams.
And now they've gone every year since then. That was 2019. And I think they have 8 teams this year. Like over that 80
is,
people.
That is bananas. Bananas. And the stories that you get from the old Padres guys. And they're really, they're loose and laid back and having fun. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. I think you will. We had a great time last year. It's so nice adding Benny to the mix. It's just going to be a blast.
I'm going to be missing a lot of the farmers this week. Next week just to be there. Back in time for the final round on Saturday.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Looking forward to it. It's not a sacrifice. I had a lot of fun last year. It was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, you did.
All right, here's what we got.
You had a lot of fun.
Here's what we've got. And usually I'll start with the beginning, but let me start with the end because, as we've mentioned a couple of times, we have a really special guest coming in studio in our 9 o'clock hour today. I see in our chat, Andros says, anyone used to listen to DSC? That was my morning show before I found 97.3. Yeah, DSC, Dave, Shelley, and Chainsaw was really the creme de la creme when it came to San Diego morning radio for decades, honestly. Just three absolute legends. Retired, called it a career about, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And this morning, it is going to be our honor to welcome Dave Rickards into studio just to kind of catch up on where he is and talk about his legendary career in San Diego morning radio and just shoot the breeze for the final hour of the show. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm a little nervous about it, actually.
I'm sick to my stomach, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it as well.
This is I've got a Mount Rushmore of radio legends that I look up to. He's on it. Howard Stern's on it, who celebrated his 71st birthday yesterday. And my man, Mike Reiner, from Dallas. Now, I've had the chance to have lunch with Reiner. Never met Stern. And now I'll get to do an hour of radio with Dave Rickards. I'm like a kid in a candy store. I mean, this is a hero of mine. This is a guy that took time out of his schedule to meet with me, help me in my career. And I have not gotten to spend a ton of time with him. And so I'm really excited to actually get to... It's like taking ground balls with Manny. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. Like, I get to sit in a room and do radio with him. I'm elated.
I worked mornings in the same building as Dave, Shelley, and Chainsaw for many years. And while I would talk to Chainsaw occasionally.
Yeah, sports guys.
I never really spoke to Dave.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. I just was intimidated. I just thought, no, I'm just going to let him... You know, have his process
terrifying.
In the
He's
morning.
Absolutely
Is it
terrifying.
Yeah, it's not
yes,
just me, then.
No,
right.
It's terrifying.
Not just me, it's you too. All right.
Yeah, I'm terrified.
All right, so that's the final hour of the program. But before that, that means we got to cram everything in to the first 3 hours, including, as I mentioned, a lot of Roky Sasaki. I would call it news yesterday.
Wasn't no question.
Just, wasn't just rumors.
Not we speculation.
Some news.
We have breaking news from reputable sources. The most reputable, Jeff Passan, on the pursuit of Roky Sasaki, which is coming to a conclusion here in the next week or so when he makes his decision. And we are officially down to 3 finalists, according to all of the reports. Confirmed, reported, and confirmed. The Los Angeles Dodgers, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the San Diego Padres. Everybody else has been informed. Thank you, but no thank you.
Wow.
We are moving on, and we are down to the last 3 candidates. So we'll discuss, whether those 3 choices and why what Roky Sasaki is probably thinking at this point.
Yeah, we'll talk about how it all kind of unfolded yesterday. One of the more interesting ways I've ever seen it unfold. I kind of liked it. I kind of wish every free agent, I know his is different, international posting. I wish every free agent did this. I really do. I wish that every time a big free agent met with teams and did his tour, the next day it was the Yankees have been informed that they are no longer in play. The Cubs have been informed. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I wish it was always like
you
that.
You are not the team.
You are not it.
You want a posting window for everybody.
Pretty
and
much.
Then like a week in which they're allowed to sign.
Correct.
So you know.
Yes.
All right, you know what? Here's the week that Alex Bregman is going to sign. We know that he's going to make his decision between Thursday and Monday. So we'll find out, what Alex Bregman chooses in the next few days.
Yeah, the Tigers have been told they're out.
And everyone can have like a different window in the offseason. So, hey, guess who's coming up this week? Oh, Corbin Burns is coming
Blake
up this
Snell,
week.
He's got Juan Soto.
I think it's badass. I mean, I really do. Like, as much as it's going to hurt if he goes to the place where I think he's going to go, as much as it's going to hurt and sting, I mean, at least you know you're in it. And even more importantly, if I'm a fan of those teams that got eliminated yesterday, I'm great. I can move on. We just want to know an answer. It's like everything in life. Are you in or are you out? I don't know. I'll let you know. He'll call. No. If you want to be here, be here. If you don't, you got to let me know so I can make other plans. And I think, you know, as much as some of those teams that thought they were in it, Yankees, Mets, Cubs, whatever, bro, at least they have a plan now. At least they know he's not part of the plan and they can move on and make other arrangements.
Rookie Talk coming up here at the bottom of the hour. It's 7 o'clock, 7:20. Don't do this. We had to sift through our multitude of options for Don't Do This this morning.
There's kind like of a 14 to go through.
Bit of a crazy Monday. We will get into last night's NFL game and the Deion Sanders rumors with the Dallas
Morning rumors. As I speculated yesterday.
They've talked.
Yes.
They've talked. He's interested. So that's going to be dominating the conversation in the NFL. We'll do that in our 7:30 segment. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got Take on Woods. And our Rytle Report moved up a little bit early today to make room for Dave Rickards in the final hour of the program. So that's your menu for a Tuesday on Ben and Woods.
Very excited about it, Benny. Very, very excited about today's show. It's been a long time in the making, man, getting Dave in here. A long time.
Speaking of exciting, I do want to remind everybody the biggest fan contest is returning on January 27th. Our grand prize is a night in the Odyssey Suite with 20 tickets for you and your friends at a future Padres game, an incredible prize. And all you have to do right now is register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Then once the 27th hits, listen, we announce names every day at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. for your chance to call in and qualify for the drawing for the grand prize. So a very simple contest with a very, very good prize available.
Yes, sir. And right now we need to talk about trust and will. Both of us over the Christmas and holiday vacation sat down at our computers, went to trustandwill.com, and both punched out a will for the first time. It's just something I kind of always knew I needed to do. And I don't know. There were a multitude of reasons why I hadn't done it yet. They made it so easy for me, Ben. And I know they did the same for you. It really blew my mind how easy it was.
Yeah, it's not something you really want to think about.
Right.
But this makes it really simple. Get it done quickly. They'll mail you out the documents, and then you get them signed. And you got them. Keep them in your files. You know that your wishes can be followed if you're gone. And really make things a lot easier for your family. Speed up the process of probate court and everything that happens after you pass away. It's like making sure your family doesn't have to go through the added stress. They're already having, you know, a terrible time. Make this a little bit easier.
I mean, you hope that they're having a terrible time without you. But listen, if you're one of those people, right, one of the 67% of people that have not gone out and gotten a will, secure your assets, protect your loved ones with Trust and Will. Get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by visiting trustandwill.com. Use the code San Diego, all one word, at checkout.
By the way, you can also have directives for, like, if you're just, you know, comatose, or it's, you know, what to do with your kids. There's so many things that you didn't think about. It'll guide you through the process. It is really simple at trustandwill.com. As Wood said, use code San Diego, all one word, at checkout to get that discount, 10% off. All right, we got Roki Sasaki Talk coming up next. All the news that happened yesterday with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. You know, I got to thinking yesterday that Roki Sasaki isn't just a potentially franchise-changing pitcher. He's also a psychological test for fans, because it really kind of reveals your mindset as a fan, whether you have optimism or pessimism toward your team, especially as a Padres fan. I saw Woods, he'd been kind of running the pessimistic side, and maybe that's self-preservation and self-protection, but every time I see you commenting, it's usually fearing or expecting the worst.
Correct.
The shoe is about to drop. The bottom's going to fall out of the pursuit, and you're going to ultimately end up disappointed.
I don't like that about myself, but I think, you know, it's wisdom. It's sports wisdom. It comes from many, many years of, you know, getting kicked right in the shins over and over. And, you know, as somebody that, you know, covers this team on a daily basis and, you know, sometimes hears the things we hear, knows the things that we know, you just kind of wait for the inevitable to happen. And I in my private moments, sure, man, I daydream like crazy about what it looks like with Roki Sasaki holding up that jersey next to AJ Preller. I absolutely do. And I think that's why I have to preserve, like, I can't, the eternal optimist is just, it's just not how I'm wired. I've seen too much bad stuff, and not just sports. Like, I'm just wired to kind of be like, all right, man. And if it does happen, though, if it does happen, I express jubilation. I'm not one of those guys, Ben, that is like, oh, so let's say I'm negative about it to protect myself. And then we get Roki. You know what I don't do? I don't go to the next level and say, well, he's probably going to be a bust anyway. I don't do that. It stops there, right? I don't stay pessimistic. If I think we're going to lose that game and I win that game, I don't go, oh, well, we got lucky. No, I'm jubilant and exuberant about
that win. That's true.
I never drag it out. It truly is a psychological cocoon for me.
Paulie, what about you psychologically on the Roki Sasaki sweepstakes? Where do you feel like you fall?
Probably similar to how Woods feels. How can you not daydream, especially on a day like yesterday when mm-hmm. you find out you're a finalist? But nothing really changed for me yesterday because the Padres have been finalists since day one. It's been the Padres or the Dodgers. Ask anybody in baseball.
See, now that's an optimist. I think that's an optimistic viewpoint right there. Well, that you've thought since day one it was the Padres or the Dodgers. They had 20 teams at least that were in on the pursuit. It's certainly
anybody that's been covering it has said it's most likely the Dodgers, but don't count out the Padres. Yeah. Nobody else.
But the reason for that is that, you know, you thought that the Padres were a good landing spot for Roki Sasaki, just as people think the Dodgers would be a good landing spot for Roki Sasaki. That's optimism right there. You think the Padres have done enough and built themselves into good enough franchise organization that they make a lot of sense for Roki Sasaki.
Yeah, but I feel that way about 7 other teams in Major League Baseball. I do. I feel that way about the Cubs. I feel that way about the Mariners. I feel that way about the Blue Jays, the Dodgers, et cetera, et cetera. I do feel that way. But I think this is a great place to come play baseball. You know, I don't play baseball here, but you know what I'm saying? It's a great place to come and be a part of the scene that Petco Park has turned into. And I would want to be a part of that, certainly. But the thing, Ben, that gets me, and I was talking with some buddies about this yesterday. If you're Roki Sasaki, what is your main motivation in signing here as opposed to Los Angeles, right? If you are him, if you are the guy and they're looking at you and these are your options, you know, you the person, I can absolutely understand if he picks LA. I understand it. But I also understand why he picks here. But what I'm having a hard time is, why would he pick here over there? Does that make sense?
I think it's pretty simple. I think he picks here over there for a couple of reasons. First of all, doesn't want the glare of the Los Angeles market.
Okay.
That was something that his agent said right away. They backpedaled a little bit on that market size doesn't matter. But clearly, he didn't have a great experience with the media in Japan, and he's not necessarily ready to jump right into one of the... I mean, both New York teams are out. Sounds like he's a little hesitant. So that would be one reason to pick San Diego over Los Angeles. I think the other would be your personality as a player is simply, do I want to join in with the other two biggest Japanese stars,
right,
including the by far biggest star on the planet in Shohei Ohtani, and be the third wheel, the sidekick? Or do I want to blaze my own trail a little bit more and go up against those guys?
Well,
and, you
okay,
know, turn
so,
that into you know, more of a rivalry and,
so,
and make that the defining start of my career.
So let's say our show breaks up. And I have the opportunity to go out on my own or work with you and Ben. Or you and Paul. I'm taking that. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's not like he's already worked with those guys, other than, you know, the World Baseball Classic was
sure
teammates with them, but he's not like rejoining his team. He was also on Yu Darvish's team there. You know, and I don't know the endorsement opportunities, whether, you know, being on Shohei's team does suck a lot of the oxygen out of some of those opportunities.
Or does
or
it
not,
help?
Or does it help? That's something for marketing experts and agents to kind of sift through. But, you know, quality of life. I like living in San Diego way more than I would like living in Los Angeles. I lived there for 4 years during college. The quality of life here, I think, is much better, if that's important to him. The one that I didn't understand was the other finalist, the Toronto Blue Jays. And why they are still on the list, because they didn't seemingly hit a lot of the you know, boxes. Pitching development, farm system, winning. They were a last place team last year. What is it about the Toronto Blue Jays that kept them? I mean, they're not on the West Coast. All I can think of is that Toronto is, it's a very international city.
Yeah.
And it's a great city. Somewhere you feel like if you're coming from another country, you'd probably feel pretty comfortable. The fact that Toronto is a finalist actually made me more optimistic about the Padres' chances, because that tells me that his quality of life and how comfortable he is pretty high on his level of wishes. If he kept Toronto in there all the way to the end, despite the fact that it doesn't make a lot of sense otherwise, that he's really looking strongly at quality of life and what city he lives in. And I think that gives a lot of credence to the fact that the Padres are not just a finalist, but I actually think at this point they're the favorite to land Roky Sasaki, at least in my mind. I don't know anything. I don't have any inside information. My gut tells me that they're at least a slight favorite at this point to land Roky Sasaki.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting my name on that at all. Like, I'm not going to. I do have a feeling you're going to end up on the Roky Sasaki hype video for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I did tweet that last night. I still believe that in my heart.
They'll probably take that rant that Ben just
and post it.
Made.
Yeah, it'll be great. No, but there's no need to wax poetic about Roky Sasaki right now, because there was actually and give you guys our philosophies. There was actual Roky news yesterday. And do you have the order that it went in yesterday as far as the teams that like, came off the board?
I spent a lot more time on X than usual, just following. I think it was the Giants went out, and then it was both New York teams,
yep.
And then the Rangers went out.
Yep.
I saw a report about the Diamondbacks being out. I don't know if they were ever in. And then it was the Cubs were out. And we were left with the three teams, and then Passan said, yeah, those are the three finalists. It's the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays.
Okay, yeah, when Jeff Passan sent that out, the heart starts to flutter a little bit, the gut starts to drop a little bit, and then you see the video of Roky Sasaki throwing at Petco Park, a kind of mangled Petco Park because of the rodeo. And there's no doubt that that was Roky Sasaki whatsoever. And there were a cavalcade of Padres players sitting by watching. There was Yu Darvish. Manny Machado was there, I do believe. He was throwing to Ethan Salas. AJ Preller was there. This is not uncommon, so it's not an uncommon thing. Apparently, he did the exact same thing in Toronto. Now, Toronto is in a dome. They play in a dome. Now, I'm sure
there's a hotel inside the dome, so you can look in occasionally.
You could look in. I don't know that they care about baseball that much in Toronto, if literally no one saw him out there throwing. But somebody did, I think, from one of the high-rises downtown, look down on the field and go, that's interesting. That's a workout. Now, I don't think anybody's mad that that video was leaked. I don't think anybody's mad that video was shared. You're out in public, and you know... Like, if you wanted to keep that quiet, just go down to the tunnel and have him throw off a fake mound and have all the guys crowded around him. There's a part of me that thinks, oh, no, we want this out there.
You have to be. I wonder, now, was that a request by Roky Sasaki? I want to go down and throw. To me, it feels pretty superfluous at this point. I mean, there's not... AJ Preller's not sitting there and go, huh, I didn't like that little hitch in his delivery.
We're not
interested anymore.
Right. Just one of those. I think, you know,
there's nothing to analyze at this point based on some flat ground throwing at Petco Park.
I don't think it was.
Did he maybe just want to go out and get a feel for the stadium and
being out there, see the guys?
You know, he was throwing to Ethan Salas, just get a feel for the guys and being out there. That may have been a Roky Sasaki request. I would love to just go out in your field and just, you know, throw it around for a couple of minutes, just get a sense of what it feels like.
Purple said in the chat, Toronto reports did say there was a video of Roky throwing for them, and they saw it. Some of the reporters saw it. So, I thought it was cool, man. I did. I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved that teams were eliminated one at a time. I really feel like that. It felt so new, right? Because we're so used to this. Everything being cloaked in secrecy, and I like that he didn't string 5-6 other teams along for another couple of days. All those teams now get to pivot, and I think that's cool.
There was one other element to it that came out yesterday as well. Doesn't mean a lot, but it also doesn't mean nothing. And we'll get to that after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. As you know, Woods, the Padres have a very social media savvy fan base.
Oh, very much so.
And someone's going to catch every little detail. And they did yesterday when they noticed that Roky Sasaki gained a couple of new followers on Instagram around the same time. Manny Machado and Jackson Merrill.
And Ethan Salas.
And Ethan Salas as well. All right, so three new followers.
Oh, and Jeremiah Estrada.
Yep. Yeah, there's a few trickled down after that.
Probably all the guys that met him. And that's what I'm thinking is...
Cool guy. Yeah, I should follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, we met. And hey, you guys do know that if he goes to the Dodgers, all the guys that met him in San Diego are still going to be his buddy. As much as we don't want it to be, Mookie and Manny embrace, and every time they get, you know, every time Mookie gets to third base, they have a deep, long embrace. They're buddies. It's a fraternity. They're all in it. Roky's about to be a member of the fraternity. So the liking on Instagram, the following, means nothing to me. They're all going to be, they're all in the same, under the same umbrella of big league players.
And so, I have no idea whether, you know, Vlad Jr. followed him.
Or, yeah.
Mookie Betts followed him. I'm not, you know, clued into what dot on social media as well. So this is definitely not like, oh, it's a slam dunk now. There's no, you cannot make that leap from one to the other. I think you can make the leap and go, the meeting apparently went well.
Yeah.
Because if it went poorly, I doubt they're all jumping right on board to follow him on social media. It's a sign to me that for the players, at least, the weekend visit by Roky Sasaki to Petco Park was a really positive experience for everyone.
It went well.
And that's a good thing for the San Diego Padres.
Yep, 100%.
Is it defining? Is it going to be the difference? No, of course not.
He's going to go where
that's silly.
He's going to go where he feels is the best chance for
him. Of course. So. He's talking about at least the first probably 6 years of his career.
Yep.
And if it goes well, who knows? It might be his entire career. This could be the biggest decision. Let's be honest. Probably is going to be the biggest decision of his life.
Yep.
So everyone is like, just get to it. Make the call. You know, you've got to know by now. Why are you dragging it around? Think about how long you would like to take to make the biggest decision of your life that's going to impact you for at least 6 years, if not the rest of your life, probably. I'm going to be patient with him and let him take as much time as he is allowed.
Yeah.
To make this decision.
It was a fun day. There's no question about it. It was a really, really fun day. It's a big decision. But I thought it was cool. And it's great to be a finalist. It really is. And, you know, knowing that you have a 33% chance of landing a stud like Roky Sasaki is a good thing. And knowing that you're in the mix. And really feeling like this fan base desperately needs a dub. Right now, they desperately need a dub this offseason. It's been a rough one again. And, you know, I want it for the fan base more than anything. And the players, man, it's cool to have a guy like that on your squad. It's cool to have a guy that throws as well as he does and, you know, being in your rotation. And obviously the Padres feel like they have a lot to offer. I do as well. And I know the fan bases do. And I think one thing Roky Sasaki can count on is every time he grabs the ball and toes the rubber at Petco Park, the place is going to be going bananas for him. And that's a promise. Like, that's not a maybe if everything works out. That's a promise. It's going to be packed. People are going to be buying his jersey. People are going to lose their minds. He is our crown jewel. The Dodgers, they don't need him. They do not need him. He is extra. Ben, he's extra for them. He is a great addition in a season, an offseason of already great additions by that team.
I saw a MLB Network graphic or something yesterday. It was like teams ranked based on how much they need Roky Sasaki. And the Padres were number one of, I think, seven finalists. And the Dodgers were number seven because they don't need him.
They do not
they
need
have
him.
No need for him.
But it's not
the fact that they're like, well, we're the Dodgers. Why not?
Yeah. It's not really an important factor, I would think, to Roky Sasaki, how much the team needs me. It might be nice to know that, hey, this team really needs me, as opposed to this team's going to be fine with or without me. But I doubt it's like the deciding factor.
I think that's a huge factor to be needed by your employer or whatever, rather than you're just another guy.
All right.
I'll just add you to the all-star team.
I see what you're saying, but at the same time, you also don't want to have that whiff of desperation on you.
No, and it's tough. It's really, really tough.
No, you got to walk. That's a fine line to walk if you're the
you
team.
You can't. I mean, it's like meeting a woman for the first time. You can't. She knows.
Yeah.
She absolutely. The minute you walk up and say, "Hi, I'm Ben Higgins. Nice to meet you," she goes, "That guy hasn't touched a woman in 2 years." Like, they know that. They can smell it. Roki could absolutely. He knows the situation. His agent knows the situation here. He knows what a fit.
But it's also nice to be really wanted and needed at the 100%. Same time. So how do you find that middle ground
it's
that's going to attract Roki Sasaki? And again, the reason why this is such a big deal, going through some of the ESPN, they were doing some comps yesterday on ESPN.com with their MLB insiders. Devin Schoenfeld wrote, with his power fastball splitter combo, I think of two former MLB greats, Roger Clemens and Curt Schilling.
Jesus,
said there
God.
Are certainly some similarities as well to Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani, the pitcher, it is. And then I saw one that I thought would even got me more excited. Bradford Doolittle said, the easy, heavy, hard stuff he offers reminds me of Kevin Brown, only with a different fastball. That's one Padres fans will remember, just how
they are.
Heavy
yeah,
his pitches were.
I'd be more excited about the Roger Clemens
combo. That's a good one.
You know what I mean? The splitter and fastball up in the zone. The most devastating combo. I mean, just as filthy as it gets. No, look, I'm excited about it. But it ain't happened yet. Get him to sign on the line, which is dotted. That's the only thing that matters.
Well, as we hope to welcome Roki Sasaki soon, Padres also had to say farewell to a key contributor to last year's 93-win team. We'll get to that coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. Quick timeout. More Ben Woods on the other side here on 97.3 The Fan.